Words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I love to watch relay races, and when I was younger, I loved to waddle my leg of a relay race. Four runners, as you know, with a baton. The first runner takes it and runs as fast as he or she can, passes it to the person running the second leg, who runs into the third and back to the anchor, who is running the last leg and hopefully gets the baton to the finish line before the other teams get there. They come in various lengths. It used to be the 440 and the mile. Now I think it's the 400 and the 1600 meters. I remember in the Olympics some years ago, Carl Lewis ran the anchor leg for the men's relay team and just ate up the competition. You may remember that Olympics, and my son and I practically lost our voices cheering for him as he came around the turn. It's exciting stuff, a relay race. Today, as we remember people in our church family who are now in the church triumphant, the analogy of a relay race comes to mind. There is a sense in which they have finished their leg and have now passed the baton to us. Now, the analogy is not perfect by any means. For example, in a relay race, even if it's a medley where people run different distances, you know in advance how far the person is going to go, how long the leg will be. Life is not quite so predictable, nor so easily explained. Some people live a life that seems to be a marathon, and we wonder toward the end, and they wonder, why isn't the Lord calling me home? Grandma and Grandpa Galloway lived way up into their 90s. Her mind remained sharp to the very end, but she lost her eyesight and could barely hear. Grandpa, on the other hand, had perfect eyes and perfect hearing, but his mind was mush. Communication between the two of them was very, very difficult. He would say something. She couldn't hear exactly what it was, but could sense the vibration of something having been said and would do all that she could to respond to it with what in the dialogue came out as a completely random comment that had nothing whatsoever to do with what he had just said, which was okay by him because he couldn't remember what he'd said in the first place. And you wonder, why did they live so long? Why did they have a child who lived only a couple days? Why did their youngest son, my Uncle Robert, die in the prime of his life? We don't understand, nor can we predict how long the leg of our run is going to be. So the analogy is not perfect, and yet it does work in some ways. When we're in a relay and the baton is coming to us and it is for us to take that baton, it is not for us to be able to choose which leg of the race we're going to run. We may wish that we could be running an earlier leg, but we cannot. That's over. We may wish we were running a later leg, but we cannot. That is not yet to be. We are assigned a particular time and a particular leg. Weren't any of us alive at the time 2,000 years ago when Jesus, risen from the dead, came into the upper room and showed the scars in his hands and his feet, to show them to the disciples? We weren't there, and he knew that we wouldn't be there. He said, blessed are those who do not see and yet who believe. It was not for us a few centuries ago to be there as Leonardo da Vinci was painting the Last Supper and have the opportunity to go up and say, yo, Leonardo, tell us, who is that is sitting to Jesus' right in the painting? There's going to be a novel in some centuries, and we want to know the answer to that. It's not for us to have been there. This is the leg that has been assigned to us. This is the leg for us to run. Had I been born 25 or 30 years sooner, I would not be alive today. They would not have detected the cancer that I had. Had I been born, that was my father's leg to run, you know. And had I been born 25, 30 years later, maybe they could have dealt with it in a much more non-invasive way. There are some techniques that are being developed. That's my son's leg to run, and one hopes he avoids that particular pitfall. I wonder how many names on this list are persons who lived as long as they did because of the leg they ran and the advances of medicine that kept them alive a bit longer. And one wonders how many names on that list, had they run a leg 100 years from now, might still be with us. In the march of time and in the history of humanity, this is the leg that we run. This is our time. These are our crises. These are our issues. This is the state of medicine. These are the opportunities that are before us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Again, the analogy fails somewhat in that no one of us is Adam or Eve. We're not running the first leg in this long relay of humanity. We are running a race that is long underway. And the hard fact is that every person born on this planet begins his or her run either ahead of the field or behind the field. There is an unfairness to human life. When persons take the baton, some simply are doomed and others have a wide opportunity ahead of them. I will readily admit that I was way ahead of the field simply by being born who I was, where I was, when I was. I was born a white male American at a time when the United States was on the verge of perhaps the greatest economic and technological advance in the history of humanity. I was brought home in a bassinet to an apartment overlooking the campus of Johns Hopkins University. I had kindergarten and most of first grade in a private school in Baltimore. My family then moved to mainline Philadelphia, where, as I used to tell college classmates, I went to the Radnor Preparatory Academy, run by the school district. Had a chance to go to Princeton University and seminary and start my ministry in Greenwich, Connecticut. My son was born there. I was ahead of the pack before I could even take a step. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to remind us all of that fact. Most of us here in this room have been very, very fortunate. And we need to be reminded of those who are born way, way, way behind and in desperate straits, those who were born in a place in the world even now where they're going to starve to death before they reach 1 year of age, where they're going to be killed as infants in a war-torn country, where they will be born with AIDS, or born in an urban setting here in the United States where violence is so prevalent they just wonder if they'll ever grow up. There are harsh realities to this. In addition to it, no matter where you're born, people are born with different abilities. Some can get along a little quicker than others. The church is here to remind us that humanity is a team sport, and it is for us to run for each other, to run to advance the baton for the good of humanity. In our relay analogy, there comes a moment where you realize this is my time. You've been watching the previous runners, and that person's just come up on you with a baton, and you take the baton in your hand, and it is up to you. You were born for a time such as this, as Esther was told. The fact of the matter is, each and every one of us is here because we have taken a baton from those who have come before us, and it is for us to run as faithfully and as well as we can so that we can pass that baton to those who will come after. I'm very mindful of that on Veterans Day. very mindful of what persons have done, mindful of the fact that when I was a little fellow, there was a war going on, and my father went down to Fort Bragg. In fact, I've got here the card, which is his identification card, and his picture from how he went down and served in Fort Bragg. And I've gone through some of the records of the church he was serving and the newsletters that he was there. And he came back, and I was old enough to know what was going on. We would be behind a truck full of soldiers that were going to be heading over to fight in the Pacific or in Europe, America's greatest generation. And I recall it vividly. And don't we all recall the names of the families and the persons whose names are on this list? The baton is given to us, and we for a time are on our leg of the race. Very mindful of that as we're announcing a congregational meeting for my retirement. There's a picture, a rogues gallery, if you will, back in the office of all the pastors who have served as head of staff of this church since 1870. It's somewhat eerie to look at that list of pastors because Mark Labberton and I are the only two that are living as of this day. All of the faces there did what they could to advance the baton as well as they could under the conditions in which they served, and the pictures have been arranged. There will be a picture of somebody who comes up there after I do, and the way they're arranged, I've got no idea where you're going to put that picture. But as I'm saying more and more these days, that's not my problem. This is the way it is with life, though, isn't it? You run your leg of the race, and so with the 60 names that we will read today who have finished their run and have passed the baton on to us, loved ones, who did what they could in however brief or lengthy their lives to improve the community. You see, it's not for us to take the baton that's been handed to us and have it bronzed, or to sell it and live off the income and simply sit there on the track and be comfortable and try to bring pleasure to ourselves. There's a purpose to this relay called humanity, that we are to take that baton and advance it and advance the cause of the human condition. We are here for a purpose. We're not here as isolated individuals. We're part of that ongoing, the begat passages of Scripture. There's an ongoingness to humanity, and God is working his purpose out. It is for us to advance the cause. One thing you learn, which I think may be valuable to the children who are here in our next service, is that when you're running a relay race, especially a 400-meter race where you're running 100 meters, you get that baton, and you realize that there is a way to run so that you might actually succeed, and there are a multitude of ways to run where you're guaranteed to fail. Life is like that. The runner coming at you is in a particular lane, and you get that baton, and you look down the track, and there in front of you is your lane, the straight and narrow, if you will. You're free to run anywhere you want. You may feel the urge to run up in the stands. You may feel that to express yourself, you've got to weave back and forth across the track. You may have an inner urge or a need to run out onto the infield and wallow on the grass. You can do that. You can't win. You'll be disqualified. If you want to have a chance to win, there's a way to do it. There is a set course before you. There's a way to pass the baton. Back in the 1960 Olympics, the Americans had the best 4x100 relay team in the world. The anchorman, Dave Sims, spelled Syme from Duke, crosses the finish line 10 yards ahead of the nearest competition. Unfortunately, there had been an infraction between the first and second leg. They didn't do it according to the rules, and everything that came after was null and void. They'd been disqualified. Paul writes, run in such a way that you may win. To the Thessalonians, hold fast to that which is good, to wit, don't drop the baton. Don't let yourself be cut off. In the Greek, you understand it, and don't let the sins of your life cut you off and inhibit you. The analogy might preach, you see. There's some things you got to do if you want to do what you're called to do. But here's where it begins to hit home a little bit with regard to the service we're about to have. Time comes for all of us when our leg of the race is over. We pass the baton to somebody else. You see this in track meets that you watch on television. The runner has run his or her leg, has passed the baton, and slows in such a way as not to be overrun by the runners coming from behind, and then quietly steps off the track. To Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. 60 names are in our bulletin of persons who have finished the race. They finished their leg of the race, and one at a time, they step off the track while the race is still going on, and you notice that they walk over and maybe join someone who has already finished his or her leg and is there, and they wait together and they watch and they urgently want to see how those who come after do, cheering us on. To the Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. We have a great cloud of witnesses. Their names are in the bulletin. And let us run the race. But then when the race is over, if you're watching it on television, you will notice that they do not cut away to commercial. They stay with it and they watch what happens. And notice that there's an image, indeed there are various diverse images that come to mind. The race is over and all four members of the team get together in one place. And they're just in a kind of identity, a clan, a kinship. Their togetherness to it. You might see one team, all four of them kind of bending over, exhausted. If it was a 1,600-meter relay, I can tell you if you run 400 meters in a relay, you think you're going to die. Comforting, encouraging, maybe sipping some water, offering perhaps a pat on the back of empathy. There's another team, four of them running about the track and quite happy and smiling, maybe wear a school banner or a flag of their nation, grinning ear to ear. Fascinating image when the race is over. There is a togetherness to it. There is an empathy to it. There is a celebration to it. And let me suggest to you that's a hint of what heaven is all about. If a name on this list is a name of someone you especially grieve today, understand this. The testimony of Scripture and the bedrock of our faith is this. He or she is already gathering with those who have also finished their race. One day you'll be there too, sharing in the kinship of community and the comfort of empathy and the festive celebration of the fellowship of heaven. In our liturgy of the graveside service, and words were spoken at a graveside just yesterday, there's a way in which we begin our time together at the grave, and it is the words I want to put before you this day as we prepare for our service of remembrance. Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.